Jesus, what a friend for sinners, Jesus, lover of my soul. Friends,
welcome to the Unknown Bible, the broadcast ministry of Bible Believers Baptist Church in Corpus Christi, Texas. Join us now for today's Bible study with our pastor, Bevan Zwelder.
Today we are going to give you some very practical counsel from the Bible, and it's going to have to do with things you say. Proverbs chapter 10, verse 32 has a very wonderful proverb in it. The Bible says, "The lips of the righteous know what is acceptable, but the mouth of the wicked speaketh frowardness." We're going to concentrate on the first part of this proverb. Proverbs 10:32 says, "The lips of the righteous know what is acceptable." It's like the righteous have a filter between their brain and their mouth that governs what comes out of their mouth. And today what we're going to do is we're going to talk about what is acceptable. You see where it says, "The lips of the righteous know what is acceptable." So we're going to talk about that. And that way, when you speak, your speech will be pleasing to God. It will be acceptable. Going right into this study then, what is acceptable? First of all, wisdom. Wisdom is acceptable. Look in Proverbs chapter 10, verse 31, "The mouth of the just bringeth forth wisdom." You see that? "The mouth of the just bringeth forth wisdom." Now, the thing about wisdom is that it is something that you learn. You can study the Bible and learn wisdom. You can study other men's lives and learn wisdom. You can look at your own experiences and learn wisdom. You can observe and learn wisdom. There are lots of ways to attain wisdom. The wisdom of God is found, of course, in the Bible and the application of that scripture to the things that you see in life. The more that I read the Bible, the more that I know the Bible. And the more that I know the Bible, the more that I'm able to observe things around me. And it's amazing. I don't think in terms of what does the Bible have to say about this. There's just a biblical perspective there. And that's because you get saturated in the Bible. Well, after a while, then what happens, your life is guided by wisdom. And then somebody comes along and asks you a question. And you know what? Your reply is in wisdom. For instance, if somebody comes to you and they're requesting counsel about marriage or finances or a job opportunity or a church or the Bible or any number of things that people will call and ask you about, you will be able to give good counsel. And truthfully, when you know the answer to the question and you understand the question that the person is asking you, then you don't have to give him all the wisdom that you know. Just answer the question and give him what he needs to know in counsel. Now, if that doesn't satisfy, if he has other questions that result, then he'll ask another question and you give that answer. But it's not a matter when you say what is acceptable, answering wisdom and answering, you know, so thoroughly that people could write a dissertation on your answer. No, it is simply knowing what is acceptable, understanding the question that's been asked, and being able to answer with wisdom that you have learned from life experience, that you have learned from the Bible, that you have learned about illustrations of truth in the Bible, that you have learned in observing other people's lives, that you have learned from observing the world and how the Bible speaks about those things that you're observing. You know, what I say is that if somebody comes to you for counsel and you need to give them a wise answer, leave them hungry for more. Don't tell them everything, you know. And the reason is that if they are truly responding to your answer, if they're truly responding to the question that they have asked, your answer is going to stimulate another question, and their next question is going to stimulate another answer, and that's conversation. They don't have to, you know, overwhelm them with everything you know. They don't really care to know everything you know. They'll learn what you've known if they're seeking wisdom as they gain life experience and as they get experience with the Bible. So tell them what they need to know. The other day we had the opportunity to do some long-range shooting, and we were with an excellent shooter who was giving us some counsel. And I told him later, I said, you know what I really appreciate about the lessons that you've given us? This, very simply. I appreciate that you didn't tell us everything you know. There was somebody else there trying to do that. You didn't tell us everything that you know. You told us what we needed to know to go from where we are to where we need to be a little bit further down the road. There'll be time for more questions and more training later. I really appreciate that about him, and I appreciate that when other people I'm seeking counsel from give me counsel that is directly related to the question. I'm sure they would appreciate the same thing from you. The righteous, the lips of the righteous, know what is acceptable. First thing that is acceptable is wisdom. What else is acceptable? How about this? Oracles. 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 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 11. 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 11. The Bible says this, "If any man speak, let him speak as the oracles of God. If any man minister, let him do it as of the ability which God giveth," and so forth. Notice, "If any man speak, let him speak as the oracles of God." Well, the oracles of God are Scripture. If you have a Bible, you know us, particularly a King James Bible, then what you have God's words right there in writing inside the covers of your Bible. And you can answer anything according to the Scripture, because the Scripture really does speak to everything in the world. And, you know, somebody may have a specific question about a particular genetic formula. I'm not talking about those. I'm talking about if any man speak, let him speak as the oracles of God. You'd have to be knowledgeable in the subject to answer a question like that. But the thing is, the Scripture does speak to many, many things. As a matter of fact, somebody that had questions about genetics might also have questions about creation. Aha, now you're on Bible ground. Or about evolution. Aha, now you've got Bible ground, you see. So here's what I say. If the Bible has an answer, then say what the Bible says. And be sure to quote it correctly. I've told you a funny story before, but I was standing in line at a convenience store many years ago. I don't think at that time you could pay at the pump. We all had to go inside to pay for gas, but lottery tickets were already being sold. And many times people would come to the convenience store and their primary desire was to buy lottery tickets. And this could take some time because there were choices and they'd look through the glass and try to determine what they wanted to buy. And sometimes they'd want to scratch it off right there and get their winnings and buy some more. You know how all that went back then. And I was standing behind five people, and I was trying to prepay for some gas, get it and go. And so I quoted this verse of Scripture. I said, "He that hasteth to be rich hath an evil eye and considereth not that poverty shall come upon him." The guy in front of me turned around and looked at me, and he said, "What did you say?" And I quoted the verse again. And he said, "I thought so." And he got out of line. He said, "I came here to buy lottery tickets. What a waste," and walked out the door. I thought, well, I got rid of one. Let me see what I can do with the next one. Oracles of God. You see, there's the words of God speak. Now, be careful. When you speak as the oracles of God, be sure to quote the Bible correctly. Why? Because corruptors, because those who wrest the Scripture, because the devil, they all misquote it. And you don't want to go in there. Listen, once you start, first of all, you can teach just about anything you want to teach from the Bible. And when you start misquoting it, you can really teach whatever you want to teach from the Bible. You got to be real careful about that. What this world needs is they need God's perspective on things. And to give them God's perspective on things, you can't tell them what your opinion is and hope that God backs you up. Tell them what God said. That's what they need to know. And God has lots to say about a lot of different things. So learn that Bible and get that Bible down in your heart. "Thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee," the Bible says. Hide that word in your heart and have it ready at hand to bring it out and quote it appropriately and timely. Listen, you know that God finds that acceptable. He wrote it. So what is acceptable? First of all, according to Proverbs 10:31, wisdom. What is acceptable? oracles. What is acceptable? Nothing. You say, what? So yeah, sometimes the best thing to say with your lips. The lips of the righteous know what is acceptable. Sometimes nothing is acceptable. In other words, you just, as somebody says with the double negative, you just don't say nothing. Proverbs chapter 17, verse 28. Proverbs chapter 17, verse 28. The Bible says, even a fool, when he holdeth his peace, is counted wise. And he that shutteth his lips is esteemed a man of understanding. You know, sometimes the best thing to do is just not to say anything at all. That's right. Jesus Christ did just that very thing. He was sent over to Herod, and Herod was really glad to see him. The Bible says he was exceeding glad, for he was desirous to see him for a long season, because he had heard many things of him, and he hoped to have seen some miracle done by him. Luke chapter 23, verse 9 goes on to say, then he questioned with him in many words, but, speaking of Jesus Christ, he answered him nothing. What is acceptable? Sometimes the most acceptable thing is nothing. That's right. In other words, sometimes the best thing to say is nothing at all. I'll tell you times when it's best to say nothing at all. When you're upset, when you're temperamental, you're mad, you know what? Don't say anything. Or if you do say anything, tell your spouse, listen, right now is not a good time. Or just say, we don't need to be having this conversation right now. And it's not that you don't want to have the conversation, and it's not that you don't want to come to some conclusion on it. It's just that you are too temperamental, too mad, too angry, too tired, too lonely, too hungry, whatever they, you know, they give you all those parameters. And so best thing to do is just not start that conversation. And so smile and say, not now. And pick it up at a time when you can visit about it. You know, truly, a really good time to say nothing at all is when somebody has baited you. They have said something, and they want you to reply, and they pretty well, the way they phrase the question, they pretty well know how you're going to reply, and then they're going to come and jump and pounce all over you. All they want to do is just get some ammunition. You listen, best thing to do is not say anything at all. As one man says, don't pick up the bait. You're like a fish. They throw the bait out there, and you jump on the bait, and boy, they reel you in, and next thing you know, you've got something going on. One man said that the way people argue sometimes is like a rock fight. So I throw a rock, and you throw one back, and because you threw one back, now I escalate it, and I throw another one bigger, and you throw another one bigger, and back and forth. You know the best way to stop that? Somebody has to quit throwing rocks. And sometimes it's best just to stop and say, I don't have an answer. You know, another time to say nothing is when you don't know. I'm serious. There are people who feel compelled to give an answer to everything when they don't know anything. That reminds me an awful lot of what you hear on television today, particularly in talk shows. There's an awful lot of foolishness there. Let me just say something. If you don't know the answer, you know what you say? I don't know. You say, well, I don't want to look like a fool. May I tell you something? The Bible says when you hold your peace, people count you wise. They count you as a man of understanding. Listen, it is better to say I don't know when you don't know than to say something when you don't know. They're going to find out that you did not know what you were talking about. You're going to look like a fool, or you're going to mislead them. So many times it's best just to say nothing. When you're mad, when they're trying to bait you into a conversation, when there's a rock fight going on, when you don't know. Okay? That's very simple, isn't it? But the lips of the righteous do know. They do know what is acceptable. And sometimes there's just nothing you can say. All right, here's another one. What is acceptable? Well, wisdom, oracles, nothing. I'll tell you something else that's acceptable. Truth. Truth. In Ephesians chapter 4, verse 25, Paul was talking about the new man versus the old man. And in Ephesians 4:25, he says, wherefore, putting away lying, speak every man truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another. Truth. Put away lying. Now, there are all kinds of lies that Christians tell. And sometimes they intend to tell a lie. Sometimes they don't really intend it to be so much a lie. They just don't tell everything. You know what? Quit playing those games. Be absolutely truthful. in dealing with others. What does that mean? No flattery. He that flattereth his neighbor spreadeth a net for his feet. Don't do that. If you have something good to say about them and it's truly good, say it. But if you have something good to say about them and it's not really true, don't say it. Don't flatter them. God hates that. So no flattery. Be absolutely truthful with them. No boasting. Don't go around telling people things about yourself when those things aren't true. You're like a cloud and wind without rain. You're boasting yourself of a false gift. Don't go there. People aren't impressed with you when you talk about how big you are when you're really not that big. Just let it go. How about this? No hypocrisy. People are terrible about this in churches because the lives are basically, they're like two different lives. Person comes to church and, oh, God bless you and I love you and these are my friends and I love it here so much. And then over here on the other side, you're going to bars, you're hanging out with guys or you're hanging out with girls and you're saying and doing things that people at church, if they knew, would just like, what? You got to be kidding me. So quit putting on a show. Be truthful. What is acceptable? Speak the truth. I've told people in our church before, if you're beat up by sin, just come in here beat up by sin. Just come in here beat up by sin. I mean, we're not happy that you're beat up by sin, but if you come in that way, at least we know how to minister to you and you're going to get better. But if you come in here pretending to be okay and talking like you're okay when you're not going to get better. You're going to get worse. That's like going in and telling the doc, how's that things? He's, everything's fine, doc. You don't even need to run an examination. Man, I couldn't be better. And you're lying. You need help. Okay, here's something else about speaking the truth. No flattery, no boasting, no hypocrisy. Just be absolutely truthful in dealing with others. Listen, I say this. The short answer is the best answer. That's it. If somebody asks you a question and the answer is no, but you really don't want to hurt their feelings by telling them no, and so you're trying to find a way to beat around the bush in order to let them down easy, you know you're going to just make matters worse. Don't do that. You know what you do? Just say no. That's the best answer. They may not like it, but at least they know. We have missionaries that call from time to time, and they tell us, you know what? I cannot book maybe. In other words, when a missionary calls for a meeting, it can be hard sometimes to say, listen, you know, we're not going to schedule you. And so what a lot of pastors do is they just kind of put them on the hook there and say, well, let me think about it. Let me pray about it. I'll get back to you. And they never get to the place. And the missionaries will say, I can't book maybe. I'm better off for you to tell me no so I can move on to somebody else than for you to say maybe. If the answer is yes, it's yes. If it can't be yes, the answer is no. And let's leave it with that. So the short answer is the best answer. Somebody asks you a question. Listen very carefully to the question they're asking. Okay. And if the answer to the question can be one or two or three words, then say one or two or three words. And let that be it. And if they need to know more, they'll ask you more. If they don't, they've got their answer. Listen, one other thing when speaking the truth, don't repeat stories that are not absolutely true. In other words, verify them first. So often people will say, man, I heard so-and-so, and you know what he said, and go on with this big story, and then you go and repeat it and add your little embellishment to him. And by the time three or four people have told the story, it's so far from the truth. Don't do that, particularly when somebody ends up in the hospital and, you know, they go in there for an ingrown toenail, and the next thing you know, they're not going to survive. It's terminal. You know what I'm saying? People have a tendency to really embellish these stories, so don't repeat anything that you don't know to be absolutely true. I'll give you an example. The lips of the righteous know what is acceptable. If you read something on the internet that somebody emailed to you and go repeat that thing as truth, you may find out that you're repeating a lie. There is a tremendous amount of false information on the internet. It's not reliable. What else? Well, we know that wisdom and oracles and nothing and truth are acceptable. The lips of the righteous know what is acceptable. What else is acceptable? Reproof. Proverbs chapter 25 and verse 12. This is what the Bible says. Proverbs 25 and verse 12 says this. As an earring of gold and an ornament of fine gold, so is a wise reprover upon an obedient ear. a wise reprover upon an obedient ear. Proverbs chapter 27, verse 5. Open rebuke is better than secret love. You know, there are times when there's nothing else you can say. You've just got to call somebody down on a thing. You've got to reprove them. They're out of line. They need to know, hey, you've done this thing wrong. They have to be accountable. That's not easy to do, but you know what? The lips of the righteous know what is acceptable, and reproof is acceptable. Paul told Timothy when it came to preaching, he said, preach the word, reprove, rebuke with all longsuffering and doctrine. So, listen, you've got to, sometimes you just have to tell them off. Sometimes you've just got to come at them and get the thing squared away. And they're at fault, and they've got to know it. Now, you know what a lot of people do, and I used to do this too, and I used to do it to an excess. It was actually horrible looking back on it, but a lot of times what we do, we know we have to reprove them, so we start saying nice things about them. Oh, you know, I really like you, you're my good friend and all that, but I have something I need to say. And so you say it, and you know what? Make sure to reprove before you compliment. And otherwise, what's going to happen is every time you compliment somebody, they're going to duck. Why? Because they're afraid what's coming next is the reproof, and so it all falls on a deaf ear. Literally, if you've got something you need to reprove somebody about, get to it. Then after the reproof, if they've accepted it, they're an obedient ear, things start to straighten out, then pay them the compliment, okay? But don't start with the compliment. They get used to that little scenario, then you're trying to compliment them and you don't have a reproof, they're gone. They're just gone. The lips of the righteous know what is acceptable. Reproof is acceptable. It really is. I'll tell you something else that's acceptable, and the lips of the righteous know it. Purity. That's right. Purity. Purity, the Bible shows us in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 29, let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth. That's right. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth. We're to be an example of the brethren in purity. So listen, no cursing, no dirty jokes. They're not acceptable. You say, well, I can tell this off-color joke in such a way that I don't have to use the off-color words and the people don't know what I'm talking about. You know something? There are some stories that people tell that are just hilarious. I'll grant you that. And they're funny. You know, but I'll tell you what, people get used to you telling off-color things. They don't take you seriously when you tell them things that are true and things that are honorable toward the Lord God. It's like you've got salt water and sweet water coming out of the same well. Bitter water and sweet water coming out of the same well is just not right. So keep it pure. And you know what? The lips of the righteous know what is acceptable. When you're getting ready to tell something off color, there's just something inside of you, your conscience, the Spirit of God that goes off. It's just like, you know what, really? You shouldn't be going down this road. Don't go there. What is acceptable? Well, the lips of the righteous know what it is, and I'll tell you what's acceptable is thanksgiving. Thanksgiving. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 4. This goes along well with the prior point, which says purity is acceptable. Listen. Neither filthiness, nor foolish talking, nor jesting, which are not convenient, but rather giving of thanks. What's he talking about? Verse 3, but fornication and all uncleanness or covetousness, let it not be once named among you as becometh saints. He said he doesn't want even what you talking about it. Don't even go there. But rather, giving of thanks. Now that's acceptable. In other words, every opportunity that you have to thank someone, you should do so. Thank the waitress. Thank the busboy that comes to remove the plate. Busboy, busgirl, the wait staff, whatever you want to call them. How about the person that comes to refill your water? Thank them. How about when your wife prepares a nice meal, like breakfast and supper, every day? You say, you don't still thank your wife for the meals that she prepares. Every single time. I mean, unless for some reason I'm preoccupied in my mind and forget to do so, I'm not trying to be boastful and proud about that. I'm just trying to tell you, man, you know what? I appreciate the good meal that she prepares, and I want her to know it, and I am thankful. Very thankful. A lot of guys that don't have that opportunity, and they've got to go out to eat all the time, or they have to even do the cooking because wife doesn't cook. Thank them. I'm telling you, honestly, every opportunity that you have, thank them. And you know something else? You should continually thank the Lord. Why? This is the will of God. This is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. What is it? In everything, give thanks. That's it. All right, one more thing. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 15. The lips of the righteous know what is acceptable. What is it? Praise. Praise. Hebrews 13, 15. By him, that is Jesus Christ, therefore let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually. That is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. Praise. Every time that God does something good in your life, he ought to be praised. And others ought to know about it. Wednesday night prayer meeting, we always open up the first part of the service after our hymns to people to be able to praise the Lord for something good he's done in their lives. And I'm telling you, the longer we do this, the better they're getting. I'm telling you, the spiritual work God's doing in people's lives is worthy of praise. You know what? The lips of the righteous know what is acceptable, and praise is surely acceptable. So what is acceptable? Wisdom. Oracles, sometimes nothing. Truth, reproof, purity, thanksgiving, and praise. Now, you know, when I run down that list, you know that these things are acceptable. You can hear it in the list. You say, that's all. Yeah, those things men always ought to talk about. You know what? Then develop the habit of speaking these things. Develop the habit of not speaking those things like foolishness that are not acceptable. And the truth of the matter is, the more accustomed your lips become to speaking these acceptable things, the more acceptable your speech is going to be. Isn't that remarkable? You don't have to talk like the movies, and you don't have to talk like the TV anchors. Talk like God. The world needs to hear more from God. Amen.
You have been listening to The Unknown Bible, the radio ministry of Bible Believers Baptist Church in Corpus Christi, Texas. For information about our church, go to our church website at www.my3bc.com. That's my3bc.com. If you would like to contact us by telephone, our number is 361-241-6100. Bible Believers Baptist Church is a Bible-believing church located at 1701 Rand Morgan Road. If you are not currently a member of a Bible-believing church and you are looking for a church with an uncompromising stand on the words of God, come visit with us this Sunday or Wednesday. We would love to see you.
Hallelujah.